This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Heine Zechariah. How are you, Heine?
I am very good, thank you. How are you? Thank you for having me here.
No, not a problem. Not a problem at all. We're at Wine to Wine. You've just done a presentation on Vivino.
Yes, it was fun.
Yeah? Vivino, I imagine most of my people know what Vivino is, but if they don't, what is Vivino?
Sure. Vivino is the world's largest wine app and community. We have 40 million users around the world, and a lot of them in the UK, obviously. Mm-hmm. The core feature still is, you can take any bottle of wine, take a picture of it. We'll give you all the information about it, reviews, ratings, price, and you can even buy it on Vivino now, too.
Yeah, I saw that feature, which was quite good. When did it start? Tell me a bit about yourself.
Sure.
And then how did you start?
Yeah, I grew up almost in the UK. So I'm from the Faroe Islands, which is just north of,
Nowhere.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. You go Scotland, then you got the Orkneys, then you got Shetlands, and then you got the Faroe Islands. Yeah.
You don't sound like you got a Scottish accent.
No. It's not quite Scottish. We speak a very different language there. So that's where I grew up many years ago and moved to Copenhagen. And we started this in 2010. Mm-hmm. And by 2013, we could see something's definitely happening here. And we raised a lot of money, some of it from London, actually. And then I moved out to California, and we built the app even bigger there.
Okay, so quite good. What's your background? Is it wine, or is it IT?
So I'm an entrepreneur. I love building stuff. I was part of a security company before, so always been like business and software and creating stuff. So we started a company called Bullguard before.
It
did pretty well in the UK, so some might have heard about it.
What do they do?
It's a security product for your PC.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's a bit of a jump, but from that. But I wanted to do something different, something I was more passionate about. But I honestly didn't know anything about wine when we started. Okay. I know a little bit more now. I get to these conferences and talk to people like you.
Okay, cool. So you started the app in 2010. You just missed the dot-com boom and bubble and bust.
I think our timing was, without sort of knowing it or without sort of timing it, it was spot on, right? So the iPhone was launched in 2007, the App Store in 2008, and was starting to get traction. Because with these things, you don't want to be too early because then there aren't enough users and so on. So 2010 was a really good time to build something like this, and we started getting traction.
And also, it's always had wine matching, taking a photo and matching it. And what's the technology there? Is it AI or is it heuristics?
Yeah, so it's a combination. It's not a super fancy thing. It's a combination of pattern recognition, which basically is all these small spots on the shape. We recognize this. On the label, what have you got in the cloud that matches? So that part was the only thing we did in the beginning. Then we moved into OCR, object character recognition, where we actually read stuff on there too. Mm-hmm. So we now combine those two and have added sort of a probability thing too, saying, hey, we sort of know you're at Safeway and they don't have the Shiraz there, but they do have the Merlot. So we add a bit of probability on top of that and then try and guess what wine it is.
Okay, so you haven't gone down the AI route, or
not really? We do some machine learning, especially on some of the new features, like the taste characteristics. We read all these reviews and find out what the sentiment is on the taste and so on.
Okay. But when you say you read the reviews, it's user reviews. That's the big thing about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all user reviews,
exactly.
which is quite nice.
Yeah. So that's the big change for us. Is that I was in the old days, but Robert Parker, Wine Spectator, all those guys are based on the 100-point scale, which was developed in the 70s and was very popular in the 80s, 90s, and up till now. But I think the younger generation is more used to a 5-star scale, which we use, and all the reviews are community user reviews. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about that and the difference there really is that it is scalable, like extremely scalable.
Yeah.
It's when you walk into a Tesco in the UK, Parker or Spectator won't have rated all those wines. And if they have, where do you find them? Like a Spectator or Parker, they would do, say, 20,000 wines a year. We get 100,000 ratings a day. Mm. So the proportions are different. It means when you walk into a Tesco now, all the wines there are going to be rated by Vivino users.
What's your business model?
The business model that we... So first of all, in the early days, we were very fortunate to be able to have people that believed in us and invested. So we've raised quite a lot of money. We've raised a total of $66 million. Mm-hmm. And that is required if you want to build something that's free and you really want to take on the world. So we do appreciate that. The business model idea was always there. It was about selling wine through the app. Okay. So we want to build the biggest marketplace in wine, and then we take a marketing fee on everything sold through. Mm-hmm. You can now use the app, and you can use Apple Pay and Google Pay. It's like it will take you 10 seconds to buy a bottle of wine. It's super convenient, super easy to do, and when that happens, we'll take a small fee on that. That's most of our business model, yeah.
Don't you have problems, though, because Apple Pay has massive fees. You know, they take quite a bit of margin from you for their payment.
So it depends on what you do. So I think what you're referring to, if you buy through the App Store, so they would have, if you sell software through the App Store, it's like a 30% fee or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's
Apple
huge.
Pay is not like that. So they actually don't, it's just a credit card payment.
Yeah.
So I think that it's not very expensive to use.
Because I had a look at the way Apple does it, and anything you purchase through an Apple app, I thought you had to do it through their thing. That was part of their terms and conditions.
If it's a digital product, so if it is a piece of software or music or something like that, you're right. But obviously it's not viable if it's a wine. So don't do it on physical products.
Okay.
So it's different, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's lucky, isn't
it? Yeah, it's good. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work.
Right? It isn't. 30% isn't even the margin most people get on wine. So the app was launched, and it had that scanning feature, and users could rate the wines at that point.
Yeah.
And then when did you introduce selling? Obviously, selling wine was your goal.
Yes.
But you didn't go into that straight away.
No. So we had tested it early on in some of the smaller in Denmark and so on. But we really sort of doubled down in 2016. And it was a pain in the butt, to be honest with you. Logistics, a lot of partners, not all of them were extremely good, like all kinds of different issues. It's just complicated from building a piece of software to actually deliver and all wines. And so it was definitely hard. And then it took us a while, 17 and 18, we really started going. Just to give you your listeners an idea, we sold wine for around 90 million in 18, and we'll get to 135 million this year.
Dollars,
right? So, so we're very happy. We're 50% growth this year, and hopefully we'll keep growing.
Okay, so the real focus of, from your point of view, from a revenue, is selling wines.
Yes.
Okay, you didn't monetize till quite late, though.
No, exactly.
Quite often when people monetize apps, it puts people off the app.
Yeah.
But this is an opt-in. I want to buy the wine. So
it's almost like a feature.
Yeah, exactly.
So people are very happy with us. It's like you say, like, are you going to put a wall in front of me? Now I can't use it. That's annoying. But this is like an extra feature, and people wanted it. So in that sense, the monetization really didn't get in your way, but was really... improve the product.
Yeah, okay. And tell us about the team. Are you in California?
I'm in California.
Silicon Valley? Or?
Yeah, well, a broad definition of Silicon Valley. I'm in our office in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I live just north of San Francisco.
Okay. North, that's Sonoma.
Yeah, so no, but not that far.
Okay. And is all your team based in California, or are they all over the world?
Yeah, we're pretty distributed, but the biggest part of our team is actually still in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Okay.
So all our product engineering is in Copenhagen, Denmark, where we have like 69 people.
Mm-hmm.
And in California, I think we're like 35. And a total of 135, which are sort of spread out all over the world.
And what do the... So you've got a coding team.
Yeah.
You must have some sort of marketing team.
Yes.
And you must have people now dealing with...
suppliers. Yeah, exactly. So in Copenhagen, it's mostly product and engineering. So they're actually designing the product and coding all those things. In California, like a lot of the other stuff is run like marketing, commercial, and so on. And then in the local markets, we'll have people dealing with local stuff like, hey, supply and logistics and so on.
Yeah, okay. And now that you're selling wine, obviously selling wine is a pain in the ass.
So we don't really sell wine. Our partners do. They sell through the marketplace, right?
So you're,
but we're somehow responsible still. Like,
yeah,
it feels like I'm buying through Avena, so we got to do it right.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you get shipments, and they're not home, and the courier turns up, or there's a bottle broken.
It's fun.
Oh, it's not fun, I know. I mean, in my business, we sell a little bit of wine. It's not our primary business. business in the way, and we don't really want to.
No.
And it's almost like, oh, bugger, we've got to ship a case of wine.
Yeah.
You know, because we just know it's just a hassle.
Yeah.
It's just a hassle.
And we have great partners these days to help us do that. It's not necessarily our core to do so. So we have, like, we monitor them very closely. How quick do they ship? How quick does it get to the users? Because they will tell us right away if stuff doesn't work. So we have some great partners around the world.
I didn't see on the app, but I didn't manage to complete a... I didn't purchase any wine on the app when I was playing with it.
You definitely should.
Actually, I noticed you do recommendations for purchasing wines.
Yes.
Yeah. And the number one recommendation at the moment is a wine called Koyam. You probably, I mentioned it changes every day, but Koyam is a wine we actually use in our tastings, and or used to use in our tastings, and it is a really popular wine. You know, you crack that out, and I would say 9 out of 10 people will love it. You know, yeah, it's
so popular.
I was really surprised that it was there, because it's certainly not a mainstream wine in the UK, and they're an organic producer from Chile, and it's
it's a crowd pleaser.
Real crowd pleaser. So one of the things that you guys do is, as you say, is you take a photo and you give information about that wine. But if you get underneath it, what you really got to do is work out how to match that wine. And I had an app years ago called Findavino, and we had the same sort of problem. But the problem was that matching process was very hard. We set up a manual matching process rather than and that was it was costly, and it really affected the scalability of the app. So how did you guys solve that problem?
I'm not sure there's no amazing solution to it. It is just a grind, and you have to remember, we started the same way, because you can't match a wine unless you've seen it before. So we started with nothing. And basically what we did is we hired a team in India that probably had never tasted a bottle of wine before. And then actually before we started, we had done a small sort of competition app where we motivated people just to send us pictures and you could win a corkscrew. And we got thousands and thousands of pictures, started matching all those photos with the team in India, which is very cost effective. And then we launched the app and we got better and better, and we just improved. And it is like you say, it in the beginning, it's like, this is never going to stop. This is just going to keep going. But, you know, at some point, you start hitting the same wines again, and the recognition starts to work, and then it's good. We launched in 2010, and it wasn't until 2012 we started to really get traction. So it took us a while.
In terms of?
Growth in users.
Okay.
It took us a long, long time, really, to get the rapid growth. And the reason was really simple. The product wasn't good enough, right? So the people that used it, it sometimes worked, and people say, yeah, it's fine, we'll give it another shot. And we did the manual matching, came back to the user and said, hey, yeah, we found it now. And people say, oh, let's try it again another day. So I would say, you know, we might have been one of the best products back then, but it certainly wasn't any good.
Yeah. What was your error rate? Do you know what your percentage rates were?
So the match rate when we launched, we would know 10%. The 90% was done manual. And then that just grew. But the accuracy, like you say, was pretty bad. And we have indicators of that, but it was horrible. Especially the vintage was hard, but sometimes we didn't know.
Yeah.
But no, we were up at 30%, and now we're at like 1%.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's... But that has taken years and years of work, of cleaning and so on. So, and we, I don't know if we talked about this earlier, but a couple of weeks ago, we crossed 1 billion scans. So we literally have 1 billion pictures of wine labels.
Okay.
And that's what it takes to do it well in this business.
Yeah. And I suppose the thing about those 1 billion pictures is that they're on people's phones, and some people's phones have got really good photos.
Yeah.
Some people's phones are a little bit dodge, and then you're in a dark room and all that sort of stuff.
That was a really big problem in the beginning. It's much better now.
Mm.
Obviously, we're drunk and in a dark room. That's a problem. But back in the day, cameras were just worse than they are now.
Yeah.
Now they're pretty good, and that's helped us quite a bit.
Yeah. So it's almost a timing thing as well.
It is.
Okay. And how does the matching process work?
Sure, yeah. So if it's a new label that we haven't seen before, you shoot it and then it pops up and says, hey, we don't know this wine yet. We're going to look at it. Then it would shoot the label to our team in India where we had built an interface for them. It would pop up on the screen, and they look at it and say, okay, what is this? They would search our database because it could be just the light that wasn't good. So and then if they find it there, they would match it. It goes back to you and say, hey, we found your wine. It's all good.
And how long does that take?
Back then, it could be like within minutes sort of because we had people working 24/7. If it isn't in our database, we have a second team now so that we have a tier one and a tier two. So the first team will do basic stuff, and then we have a more expert team that does the, hey, we can't find database. We got to find out and make a decision if we're going to add this or not. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that goes to them, and they say, okay, it looks like it's not. Let's add it. And then they add it and try and go on Google everywhere and find as much information they can about it, and then it's added. And obviously next time somebody comes in, we will match it automatically. Yeah. But usually to get it, you need like 10 pictures of each wine to get a really good match. So it takes a while before it's really, really good. But obviously now the users are starting to add data on it. They're adding ratings and reviews. And slowly the page becomes richer and richer.
Yeah, okay. And so you're taking, you're scraping other information from other websites?
We actually don't scrape. We've never done that. We have people that research wine one by one. We've never sort of scraped in that sense. For some pricing information, We take prices from certain e-commerce sites as well.
Okay, and what's the plan going forward? You've now started to monetize.
Yeah,
is that the only monetizing strategy you're going to implement, or have you got other ideas?
So it's the primary, but we've now started to do sponsorships with wineries too, so that when you look at a wine, you can get a richer experience. So we'll give you a background on the winery. We now put a video on top. So we do all kinds of marketing, and then we sell data to the wineries too. Not data about people, but about, hey, where are people scanning your wines? What are they saying about them? And competition and so on. And they love those products. So it's going to be a combination of those things.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because initially I wasn't aware of the selling of wine. And I was going to ask, if you're not selling something, you're selling the person.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We really don't want to do that. So we will sell sort of anonymous data about where people are drinking and all those things. We're not going to go down the Facebook route of sort of selling your data.
Okay, so if a winery wants to know where in the world, do you like heat maps of, it's big in Tokyo, but no one's drinking it in Lebanon or something like that.
And maybe you have a supplier in Colorado and a different one in Florida, and we can tell that the guy in Colorado isn't doing really well, even though he's spending a lot of money on marketing. Why is that? So we can do all kinds of tracking of how the sales are going.
Okay, excellent. All right, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Henny. But next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about your ratings and all that sort of stuff.
Perfect. Exciting.
Cool.